Hello there, and welcome to the Friday edition of Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes, and I certainly hope you're going to be able to hang out with me for the remainder of the show. Okay, today we're going to talk about one of my favorite gospel passages, and I think this is what we're going to see is an illustration of the way we often think. I don't have what it takes. Right? You ever feel that way? I don't have what it takes. Excuse me. I don't have what it takes to deal with whatever I have to face in my life. My faith isn't strong enough. One thing or another is just not, I just don't have it in me to do what I have to do. And we're going to see an example of this in the gospel. It actually is the gospel from today's Daily Mass. But we can look at this gospel and I think learn something from it. I mean, obviously that goes without saying. What a revelation I just made. We can look at the gospel and learn something from it. But what I'm getting at is that this gospel has a really practical application in our lives, because we're all going to be faced with that. You might be faced with a dilemma or a problem or some sort of a mountain in your life right now. You're looking at it and you're saying, I just can't do this. I can't take this anymore. I can't carry the cross of this illness anymore, or I can't deal with my anxiety, or I can't handle my financial pressures. Whatever it is, I can't do it. And the good news is that, yes, it's probably true, or it is true, that you can't do it by yourself. You can't. The good news is you got somebody who wants to help you, and I think that's the mistake we all make. So we're going to be talking about what happens when we invite Jesus into our impossible situation. When we invite Jesus into our impossible situation, it ceases to be impossible. Because even though it might be impossible for us, nothing is impossible for him. And that's a pretty good feeling. That's a pretty good feeling once we recognize that. So if you will join me, let's turn to Jesus right now. Let's talk to him and let's ask him to inspire us today, to give me the words, to open all of our minds so that we can really benefit from this message. Here we go. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, so good to be with you. Jesus, we know that you are present with each of us right now. Wherever we are, wherever we are listening from, we can pause and know without a doubt that you are present. We might not feel your presence, Lord, but through faith, our brains know that you are present with us. And we also know, as illustrated by your painful death on the cross, how much you love us. You went up on that cross for me. And Lord, if that doesn't prove your love for me, I don't know what does. You died a painful, horrible death because of my sins. You made it possible for me to live in heaven when my life on earth is over. You made it possible for my sins to be wiped away by what you did. So I know you're with me. I know you love me. And Lord, I know that you can do all things. There is nothing impossible to you. So keeping that all in mind, Lord, As we come before you in prayer, we ask you to accept our intentions. Give us what we need, Jesus. Let's just get that out of the way, first of all. I'm just going to say, Lord, give us what we need. I'm not going to be specific because you know what we need. Please give us what we need this day. And give us the strength to deal with whatever we are asked to face for the remainder of the day. We'll ask again tomorrow, but we're just going to concentrate on today right now. Give us the strength to deal with whatever it is that we have to deal with today. Let us know what you would like us to do. But help us to depend on you. Help us to recognize that we need you. Because Jesus, you have said that apart from you, we can do nothing. That's good for us to remember. And when we begin to worry, we're losing sight of that. So help us to remember that, Jesus. Please intervene miraculously, if necessary, in all of our problems right now. And give us what we need to handle them. Lord Jesus, I also ask that you use me as your instrument today. Give me the words. Let me deliver the message you want delivered. And please open all of our minds and hearts so that we are able to receive the message and put it into practice. Jesus, we ask these things in your name through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her spouse, Saint Joseph. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you notice, I asked for a little bit of help today from Mary and Joseph, two of the great saints of our church. You know, we tend to forget. Anytime we panic about a problem, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I was panicking earlier today, but don't tell anybody. And that's why I'm so glad that I get to do this show, that I get to spend time with you and open the Bible and let the Lord speak to me and to all of us, because we have this tendency to think that everything depends on us. And we forget sometimes that without Jesus, we're not going to be able to do anything. We also forget that he wants to help us and that he can help us, okay? So let's try to remember that today. And I think you're going to enjoy this, because there are some classic, if you haven't read this reading yet, there are some classic illustrations of what I often say to Jesus when it comes to my problems. And I have a feeling you're going to be able to relate too. So that's what we're going to talk about. Hey, thanks for joining me today. If you want to find out more about my work and pick up a copy of my new book, Give Up Worry for Good, you can do that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And it is still not too late. Now, I mentioned yesterday about my presentation for the Listening to God virtual conference this weekend. I haven't heard anything. I'm assuming they got the video problems worked out. The conference begins today. So if you are able to sign up for the Listening to God conference, the virtual conference, by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, scroll down to the bottom of the first page, the home page, and you just click on it and set up a free, register for free. If you manage to do that, and you're able to find my talk in the on-demand section, how any of this works, I don't know, because I'm not setting it up. I just provided a talk. Then everything worked out. Now, if for some reason, I like this talk. This is a 15-minute talk I gave about giving up worry for good. And I said some things that I really want to share with as many people as possible. So if for some reason this doesn't get worked out and you're not able to view my talk, I'm going to make it a point to somehow post it to YouTube so you won't lose this. I really did feel that was an inspired talk. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me, and I don't want to waste it. So let's pray for the best this weekend with the Listening to God conference, sponsored by Teresa Tomeo and the folks at Ave Maria Press. Ave Maria Radio Network. If that doesn't work out, I'll find a way to get you the talk. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go for all of that, or to invite me to speak at your parish, okay? All right, let's look at this gospel now. I know I sound completely not confident that my talk's going to make it to this this virtual conference, but they have 50-plus speakers, and the organizers are really trying to do their best to get things worked out. And judging by what they told me yesterday, I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. Okay, the gospel from today's daily mass. This is a good one. It's the feeding of the 5,000 And this miracle is told by each of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is a big deal. This is not normally the case. And with the exception of the resurrection, this is the only miracle performed by Jesus that is documented in each of the Gospels. So this is a very, very big deal. This is John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. One of the reasons I like John's account of the feeding of the 5,000, which, by the way, it's, and you'll see it today when I read it, this is 5,000 men we're talking about. So there are, in addition, women and children who are with the men. So some estimates are that Jesus actually fed 12,000 people, 5,000 men, 5,000 women, and then possibly 2,000 children. Again, that's an estimate, but there are thousands of people being fed here. But one of the reasons I like John's account is because there are two questions or two statements made to him that basically tell Jesus, like, we can't pull this off. This is not possible. This is not fixable. And I like that because that's exactly what we do all the time. All right? John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Now, let me just digress for a minute, because that's worth mention. It's worth mentioning what's happening here. One of the reasons, if probably the only reason Jesus performs miracles and does so in our modern day, is so that we believe in him. Nothing gets our attention like a good miracle. Jesus was not showing off. He was not displaying his power for no reason. He was displaying his power so that we believe that he is who he says he is, and we're more inclined to follow him. Any sickness that is healed miraculously ultimately ends in death. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus, died because he's not alive anymore. You know as well as I do that if Lazarus didn't die, he'd be all over the news. That'd be a great story, wouldn't it? 2,000-year-old man healed by Jesus, raised from the dead by Jesus, still alive. But Lazarus is not with us. So his life ended in death. The miracle was performed for the benefit of those in attendance, those who through the years were able to look at that story and be inspired. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find that really inspiring that Jesus raised a man from the dead. When I'm facing a problem in my life, that's one of the stories I go back and look at. And it's also possible that Lazarus benefited from it. I mean, can you imagine what he was feeling? Maybe his faith needed a little strengthening too. So Jesus performed miracles. John refers to them as signs in his gospel, so that he could attract people, so that they would listen to him, so that he could get their attention and believe, and they would believe in him. So a lot of people followed him because of the signs he was performing. He's attracting a crowd. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, now he's going to ask Philip a question, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? Now, John gives us a little detail, a little behind-the-scenes detail. He said this to test him because he himself knew what he was going to do. So when Jesus asked Philip, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? He was testing Philip. And also, that question enables us to hear what was in the mind of Philip. And when we hear it, I think it's going to sound very familiar. Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people? Philip answered him. It's funny. Philip answered a question, but he didn't really answer the question. Jesus answered. Jesus said, where can we buy enough food to feed all these people? Philip answered, 200 days wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have little. Jesus said, where can we go buy food? Philip said, you know what? Even if we had 200 days worth of wages, we still, which we don't, we still wouldn't have enough money to buy the food that is needed. In other words, it's impossible. But you know what's amazing? He's saying this to Jesus. But who among us is not guilty of doing that at some point in time? Lord, I don't have it. I can't do this. I'm not going to get through this. When we worry, that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. Nope. I can't do this. But the implication there is that if we're a Christian, right? If we're not a Christian, yes, it's reasonable for us to panic when faced with the big problem in our lives. But if we're a Christian, if we're a follower of Christ, if we're a believer, for us to say that I'm never going to get through this, or this is impossible, or this is hopeless, for us to say that is essentially saying, Jesus, you're not good enough to help me get through whatever it is that I have to get through. Again, we might not be thinking we're saying that. We might not be intending to say that. But that's really what we're saying. And I think it's good for us to know that. Right? Don't you think? I think it's good for us to know that when we say that this is impossible, as a believer, that I'm putting limits on Jesus and saying, Jesus, you're not good enough to take care of this problem. So really, that's what Philip was doing. And remember, Philip's one of the apostles. Should he know better? It's hard to say because these guys were in the process of learning about what Jesus can do in their lives. They had not yet received the full power of the Holy Spirit. Unlike us, who through baptism and confirmation, we receive the Holy Spirit. So we should be at an advantage over the apostles even. You know, so Philip just doesn't see this as being a possibility. Now, it gets worse. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, what Andrew says is not going to be any better. It might even be a little worse. Andrew said to Jesus, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many? So now here's Andrew. Now here's the cool thing about Andrew's comment is he's half right. He's not completely wrong. He's thinking a little bit, but yet he stopped his thinking. He's really thinking in a very short-sighted and limited way. There's a young boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that's not going to be enough. So both Philip and Andrew don't understand that Jesus can intervene. And in fact, they don't even know to ask him to intervene and take the little food that they have. They have food, there's no doubt. But not a lot. Not enough. But they never thought to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you get involved here? Can you take this food? Can you multiply? Can you produce the food that we need? They never even thought to approach him and ask that. Instead, they looked at their limited supply of food, and they looked at thousands of people, and they concluded that this is a lost cause. This just won't work. This is hopeless. There is no solution. We're doomed. Okay, let's stop it right there. You know what I'm getting at, right? We do this all the time. We panic. We throw up our hands. We accept defeat. We give up. And yet we never give Jesus a chance to perform a miracle, to give it a try, you know? And yet there are times when we are dealt a very difficult hand in life. A terminal cancer diagnosis, a bank account that's empty, sudden death of a loved one. And we just are so desperate, so distraught, and we feel so hopeless that we just give up. Don't ever give up. With God, all things are possible. Jesus can fix whatever you're facing in some way. He doesn't always take away the illness, but he's going to give you the grace to be able to experience peace in the midst of that illness. Sometimes he will take away the illness, but just give him a chance. That's where faith comes in. Are you willing to step out in faith and ask him to do the impossible? A lot of times we're not. Sometimes it's because we don't think to ask him, because we're so used to doing things on our own. And other times, we don't want to ask him because we really don't think he could come through. Or we don't think it's possible. Yeah, you know, I need a miracle, but I'm not going to ask. Because, and again, you might not think that consciously, but oftentimes we are so used to accepting things that happen to us and not asking and suffering through them without asking the Lord to help. We're so used to it that we don't even bother to ask him. I'm going to tell you, you have nothing to lose by asking, because sometimes we don't want to be disappointed. But if you never ask, you're going to miss out on so many miracles in your life. So what does Jesus do? I like what Jesus did. He absolutely ignored Philip and Andrew. He ignored both of them. And you know what he said? He said, have the people recline. But you know what you're always going to get, even if you're not that person talking to Jesus and saying, you know, this is impossible, you're always going to get somebody in your life. You're going to have a Philip and Andrew in your life who really tries to discount your faith or kind of shoot you down when you're getting your hopes up. You know, you're feeling good about something, and then they're going to say, yeah, but you think that's going to work out? I don't know. Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's not going to work out. Or, yeah, that's great that you have faith, but how are you going to do this or that? And nothing can be so deflating as somebody doing that. There are times when you have to choose what you say. I've been around people or known people that I may have believed that the Lord could perform a miracle in my life. And I remember saying to myself, I'm not going to mention this because I don't want to deal with this person saying, oh, it'll never work. I'm just going to pray for it and not let them defeat me. You know, sometimes you got to choose your company. Sometimes you can't, but when you can, you got to think about that. There are some people who will build you up, and there were some people who are just going to shoot you down. Jesus, I heard this in a homily one time when my wife Eileen was pregnant with our daughters Mary and Elizabeth. High-risk pregnancy, you know, I'm sure there's a good chance you know the story because I've talked about it a lot. They had a 10% chance of being born alive. And I remember going to church with my mother-in-law. Eileen had to stay home because she had to be on bed rest. And the priest in his homily said, Jesus is always on the side of hope. And to not let people discourage you when it came to the Lord's power to do miracles. Again, I'm not saying don't be realistic, but what we need to believe is he can perform the healing. He can turn your finances around. He can take away your loneliness. He can give you peace. He can do all these things. He doesn't always do it in the way we expect, but it's important for us to believe that he can do it. And if you have anybody in your life who's telling you he can't do it or he won't do it, you need to try to find a way to not listen to that person, because that kind of discouragement does not come from the Lord. Again, you have to be open to God's will, but you also have to believe he can do anything. So the people reclined, about 5,000 in number. The men reclined, 5,000 in number. And remember, that's probably around 12,000 people in total. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. In other words, they had 12 baskets of leftovers, and everybody had more than enough to eat. That's what happens when Jesus gets involved. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. Just have a couple minutes left, but I want to point out something that when you look at what Jesus is doing here, when he took the loaves and he broke them, he gave thanks, distributed them to the people, it sounds like he's performing what he's doing, what he does at Mass. And essentially that is correct. This is a prefigurement of the sacrament of the Eucharist. If you are able to make it to daily Mass, I would strongly encourage you to do so, because you're going to get grace there. You don't always understand exactly what you get, but you're going to have this close union with Jesus that develops when you go to Mass. And if you can get there daily, it's going to be life-changing, and it's going to give you the strength and the peace of mind to be able to deal with whatever comes your way. That's very important. But in general, in closing, know that if Jesus brings you to a situation, he is more than able to handle it and to give you whatever you need to go through it. But you have to turn to him. So whether it's through prayer, the sacraments, scripture, you need to turn to him and ask him for help. If you don't ask, you're never going to see what he could do. And I guarantee you, if you ask him to get involved, he will get involved. All right? That's all I have for today. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Remember to go to followingthetruth.com. If you're able to leave a donation for my ministry, I would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much for everything. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you on Monday. Bye-bye.